the last time we did go to the moon, we brought back rocks. They analyzed the rocks. I don't remember anybody jumping up and down, then or now, about what a great deal it is. And, my God, look what we found. We've solved the energy problems of the Earth. Frankly, they were just sort of rocks, weren't they?
A great lead-in. Thank you very much. Well,
really?
Those rocks are turned out to be the secret, the keys to the kingdom. In fusion research, which is being done, among other areas, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, there are three. Let me start off with fusion as opposed to fission, if I can take a little long route to
you
that.
May. You may.
Fission, you are splitting heavy elements and getting energy out of that. In fusion, you're taking very light elements and fusing them together and getting energy out of that.
All right. Fusion offers a relatively poison-free,
right,
supposedly, form of energy, but we have not achieved fusion in a commercial way at all yet. We just we're not there, correct?
Correct, because when we did fission, we were in a war. We threw $20 billion at it. In 3 years, we developed it. We haven't done that with fusion yet. The amount of money we've spent on looking into it is minuscule compared to the Manhattan Project. And what we need is a Manhattan Project, because we are facing the same challenge and even a bigger challenge. It's not a world war with Nazis, but it's going to be a world war over energy. So fusion comes in three stages. In the first stage, the different stages are in the fuel you use. The first stage is a tritium and deuterium reaction. Tritium, there's very little of it, and it's an element that's basically comes into place because it's used in atomic weapons. And so there's a few hundred kilograms on Earth in total. And deuterium is heavy water. In thousands or millions of molecules of water, you'll find a few heavy water, deuterium, which is a radical.
Right.
The two of those in a reaction is not a very good reaction because it's still radioactive. The second stage reaction is when you take deuterium and helium-3. Now, helium-3 is a radical of helium, and the problem with helium-3 is there's virtually none of that left on Earth. Just to go on to stage three.
So helium-3, is that rare that there's actually very little left on Earth? Again, that's correct?
Very little landed on Earth, and I'll explain, because helium-3 is propagated from the sun. The sun is a giant fusion reactor.
Right.
And as it fuses, it propagates all kinds of electromagnetic spectrum, plus helium-3 in a solar wind. Now, when they were looking for developing these reactions, and by the way, the third reaction is helium-3 reaction, and that's the one that eventually gives you just water as waste. So your atomic waste is water. You can make tea with it.
So in other words, are we sure that with helium-3 available in quite large quantity, I guess, on the moon,
mm-hmm.
that we will come up with a practical fusion reactor to produce energy here on Earth? How locked down a deal is that?
Well, it's still in the research stages, but I was at the university. I saw a room temperature reaction vessel, which was as big as a large beach ball, and there was two grids inside of this thing. There was helium plasma accelerated from the outside of the sphere into the middle so that it would hit one coming from the other side. When the two hit, that's a fusion reaction. They're getting milliwatts out of it.
Milliwatts.
So milliwatts.
Very tiny amount.
Very, very tiny. But
are you talking about a cold fusion reaction now or a hot?
Cold
one?
In the sense that it's not a tokamak.
Okay.
Now, I've also, a tokamak is an enormous structure. I've also visited that. There is one at General Atomics in La Jolla. It's as big as an apartment complex, just about. It takes a tremendous amount of energy, It holds the flux in a magnetic donut. And that has been working for many years. So there are, you know, different technologies heading towards this. They know that theoretically it is possible. It's a question of, again, engineering and research and getting enough money to do the engineering and research. Everyone that I've talked to seems to believe that it is possible.
All right, so maybe,
there's no technological reason why it wouldn't be possible.
All right, so maybe helium-3, yeah, if we have it in sufficient quantities, would provide us with fusion, but it's only a maybe at this point.
Right.
Acknowledge that, right?
Yes.
Okay, helium-3 is available in what kind of quantity on the moon?
Well, let me first tell you about why it's at the moon. It comes from the sun, and helium-3, the waves, the flux of it, is blocked by either magnetosphere or an atmosphere. Now, the first two planets, Mercury and Venus, one has a magnetosphere, the other has an atmosphere. On Earth, we have both.
Right.
Because we have an iron core, and we have an atmosphere. So,
right,
none of it got through the magnetosphere or the atmosphere. That's why we don't have any on Earth.
That's why it's not here. Okay.
The moon has neither a magnetosphere or an atmosphere. So it has washed over the moon since the beginning of the solar system, and the moon dust, or the regolith is what it's called, is very sharp crystalline structure. It has been trapped in there to a depth of like 8 feet. It was going back to the moon rocks. So Gerald Kosinski and the other people at the university in doing the research and saying, we believe this fusion is possible. We don't have a good fuel. We can't find any helium-3. Then suddenly they realized that the Apollo astronauts had brought back moon rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So they went down, they flew down to the Johnson Space Center. They walked in, they talked to the scientists about the moon rocks, and they said, you know, do they have any trace of helium-3?
Yes.
And they said, yeah, of course. So what? So they're saying, well, we know how to do fusion, we think, but we don't have any fuel. They have fuel, but they don't know what to do with it. So the two of them got together, and they realized that there is enough helium-3 on the moon to power us for as long as we need. And because once we get to the moon, it's a stepping stone to other areas in the solar system.
Yes.
And the big gas planets are made a lot of helium-3. So eventually we'll be going to the big gas planet and scooping it up for free.